All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the rent, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 270th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr., who will be soon heading to the West Coast for Revolution Weekend. My man, how are you doing?
California knows how to party. California. No. dude, I put this on the blue sky. There is not a city I don't want to go to more than L.A., I don't like LA. Between LA and New York, I prefer New York. But honestly, most West Coast cities suck. They're expensive. They're hard to get around. They're crowded. Of course, if you need reference, I am from Oklahoma. I think our population is like a 20th of what LA's is. cost of living is one of the lowest in the country. Yeah, so you can imagine, it is not expensive, it is not hard to get around, but LA is all that stuff. But when they announced Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay in a cage, and Kenny Omega and Takeshita in a singles match, my heart would not let me go. And as I said, I would swim through shark-infested waters for the card that they have laid out on Sunday. So I will be in L.A. Only 24 hours, baby. Whoa! To the minute. It's like I get there at 10:30. I leave at 10 the next day. 24 hours. I'm out that bitch. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the show. I'm not looking forward to where the show is. And I've never been in the Staples Center, a.k.a. Crypto Arena, the house that Kobe built. So
you going to get a picture next to the statue?
I am going to get a picture next to the statue. I'm like... like the 7th best player I ever saw play basketball. That's impressive. Now, it was funny because, you know, LeBron last night, and this is going to be super quick. So I know everybody's like, oh, you're not talking about wrestling, ready to cut off the show. Give me like a minute and a half. So LeBron got to 50,000 last night. And, of course, people jumped in, you know, jumped on me because I am the LeBron lover. You know, it's like, Jordan's still better. And I'm like, Jordan, LeBron, Kobe conversation should never happen again. It's going to happen until I die, but it should never happen again.
Oh, sure.
You know why? Because you're already decided what side you're on. There is no stat that I can pull out that's going to turn a Jordan fan to a LeBron fan. There is no situation that I can pull up that's going to change a Kobe fan to a LeBron fan. And vice versa. Right? LeBron James has went on record many times that Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time. Don't care what he thinks. LeBron James is the greatest player of all time. Best player I've ever seen. But like I said, don't get involved in the conversation. So a little, if you're a sports guy that happens to listen to this show, just never get involved in the conversation again. It's pointless Everybody's stuck. Everybody's decided. Now, if you have fun arguing, like I used to, actually, as I've gotten older, arguing is less fun than it used to be. But if you still enjoy it, hey, argue to your heart's content. But just know, everybody's pretty much decided what side they're on this situation already. It's over. But in that, the greatness, I get to be close to greatness in L.A. I get some Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. I'm going to get to hang with JR. And then a person I met through Austin's friend Jared, I was like, come on. He's heartbroken right now because Cena finally let everybody see the side of him. that I have seen for 20 years. It was funny. Teal, Cody's sister Teal follows Tiffany. So I was like, boo Cena. I mean, hate Cena. I've been doing that for 20 years. Y'all just catching up. Okay, come on. Let's go. I'm all about it. Y'all was just jumping on the train. No, but that was huge. And this goes into this thing where I say, right now, in my lifetime, probably other than maybe, because if you think about where both companies are, this is probably the best time to be a fan of American wrestling.
1,000%.
WWE is hot. They are hitting on all levels for their fan base. AEW, full on the upswing, on the uptrend, hitting on every level for their fan base. Like right now, I don't think, I know there will be. Understand what I'm about to say. I know there will be. But WWE fans and AEW fans shouldn't be arguing at each other. When WWE's like, this happened, I'm like, I'm glad you enjoy your show.
Yeah.
And AEW people, like, I'm glad you enjoy your show. Because I feel like there's a world where we can all just enjoy our show and not really be in this heated competition. Now, I can't say the weekly WWE television, not really for me. I'm usually bored out of my mind. If I'm not on the phone with JR, and I know JR won't hear this, so I can say something nice about him because he won't hear it. I pretty much find most of WWE shows like unbearable to watch. But like when me and him are talking, we're talking about what's going on. We're adding our own shit. We go off on our tangents. I enjoy it because, I'm just talking to my friend. But honestly, just like last night, I tried to sit and just watch NXT by myself. I flat out messaged JR, never again. If you're out of town when NXT's on, I'm just skipping it that week. I'll read the thing. Because it was just painful. Dude, I was just like, and that's why I'm like, it's not a bad show. They put on the perfect show for their audience. I am not included in that said audience. I just watch it. So, but
right.
Yeah.
No, and again, like if you watched Elimination Chamber, well, we're not going to hold on this too long. You saw the peak, I feel like, of the soap opera entertainment that WWE looks to provide. Wrestling-wise, it was fine. It was perfectly fine. Some of the high spots were the later half, I think, of Kevin Owens Sammy. That's just me personally. I'm always going to be a fan of Kevin Steen and El Generico. And anytime they lock up, it's always entertaining. They did the thing that people have been begging them to do for two decades, and it sent the entire entertainment and sports world into a tizzy. I'm excited that wrestling fans are excited. I personally am interested to see what happens.
But I need
to see what happens post-turn. The turn was cool. What does Cena look like as a heel in 2025?
And as I said to a friend, you have two generational white guys on the same side.
Yep.
You have never seen this. We never got to see when The Rock and Hogan, we never really got to see The Rock and Hogan like, oh, we're best friends, right?
Nope.
Even though on the same side, generally they build to these generational matchups and then, it's whatever. But you get in The Rock, like, I don't care what anybody says. Maybe he repeats himself a little bit more, but the charisma is still there, right? This is definitely not a WWE show. And then John Cena, who has always been gold on the mic. And they're going to be on the same side. That's going to be fun. That is going to be fun. And I imagine there might be a bald-headed guy from Victoria, Texas in Cody's corner for WrestleMania.
Good chance. There's a good chance.
So, no, but anyway, it's not a WWE show.
It's the biggest story in wrestling.
Yeah, it's the biggest story in professional wrestling. As much as we're an AEW podcast, we're still a professional wrestling podcast.
And we're also, we are the proclivity for positivity. Yeah. So while we do a show, we're not going to act like if the competition does something good and, like, monumental, we're not going to at least mention it. And,
yeah.
It's competition, but, like, we're not actively rooting for a wrestling company to fail, like some of y'all may think.
Yes. And, WWE is doing their thing. I even said it when I watched it. I just said Triple H has his finger on the pulse of what their fans want.
Sure.
And it's
an exciting weekend though, man. I mean, you're about to get ready to go to LA. Revolution is about to take place, and what a card we are faced with right now with Revolution this weekend on March 9th. It's looking like to be a incredible night of wrestling. So we're going to get into everything regarding AEW this week leading into Revolution. Before we get into everything, guys, we want to make sure you guys are supporting this fine show by listening to us on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us on. Rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. And follow us on Twitter to show us a ton of support. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter, at Social Suplex, other guys that make this show possible. So check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowitz, SZUMOWICZ, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. at Twitter. The big news of the week was a huge one that just broke this week, which is the fact that right before actually Dynamite aired, it was announced that AEW pay-per-views, including Revolution this weekend, will be headed to Amazon Prime Video and will be available for purchase on Amazon Prime Video. So that is massive on its own right. You can go ahead and get into all that.
I was just like, let me help out with anybody with confusion.
Oh, trust me.
Okay. You have Prime. There are movies on Prime that are included in Prime. Mm-hmm. And then there are movies on Prime that are like in theaters now that you have to pay for.
Yeah, either to buy or rent.
Yes. So this pay-per-view is still going to be a pay-per-view. You're going to have to buy it or rent it if you want it. So basically, it's just like for AEW to be more accessible is always a win for AEW and our fans. But for the person, there's no Prime discount, which there was. I have Prime. I've had Prime since 2004. So definitely wish there was a Prime discount. There is not a Prime discount right now, currently in its current form. No Prime discount. You just go, you pay $50, and it's a different way to watch it, which is great. You want as many different ways to watch it at all. But let's just say you're watching it on Triller or PayPerView.com. And you enjoy Triller and PayPerView.com. This does not affect you at all. Still go to PayPerView.com. Still go to Triller. Still order it. Still watch it. It has not taken anything away. It has only gained another way. So there might be a person out there that doesn't feel comfortable with Triller or PayPerView.com, but they have this established name brand, which is Amazon, and they like, okay, I feel like I trust this brand where I'll order the pay-per-view. That's literally all that it is. It's great for AEW, but as a consumer, it really doesn't affect us. Did they
confirm if you purchase the pay-per-view, you have access to it at all times? Or is it just you buy it once, you can view it once, and then it goes away?
I don't know, because I haven't. Because
that's the biggest thing, I think. If you can buy it and add it to your Prime library to watch whenever you want, that to me is big, because that gives you access to all of that like immediately. You know what I mean? Like that helps build up your library. Prime's a lot easier, I feel like, in terms of like watching it in general, because you have permanent access to it. So to me, it fits way better. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
At least in this point in time. But you know what I mean. If you can just buy it and it's in your library, that's great. If it's a one-time thing and then it's like you're renting it, basically, that's a kind of bummer, personally. So we'll see how it works this weekend, though.
The one thing I did not see, and I was trying to figure it out, because right now, like for me, if you know you're going to buy AEW pay-per-views no matter what, that's, I mean, what you're going to do. I mean, you right now, I believe the goal would be to stay on pay-per-view.com, because right now they have, you can order this one and Revolution for $84.99, which, as you know, saves you $15 off the total of $100. That's what I did. I ordered it on Triller, and I didn't even look a lot at Amazon because I'd already ordered on Triller, and I'm already good for the next two pay-per-views.
Right.
But, you know, so that's good. The big thing I would want to know, and I'm not willing to pay this, is that what the stream limit on it is on Prime. Because I actually have a friend on Prime, where I don't even know if we watch it at the same time, but there's never an issue or whatever. But what I mean is... If you can have two streams, three streams, or like fucking Bleacher Report was for unlimited amount of streams and just keep going. So that sometimes could help because you could then split the cost and everybody watch it or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, like I'm sticking with Triller because that's where all my library is. And someone asked a question about a pay-per-view's coming to Max and a discount and blah, blah, blah. That's supposed to happen later this year. They said stay tuned for more information from what I read on the Twitter post. So that is coming, but they never said when it was coming. They actually, even the initial press release was pointed out to me, it did say late 2025. It did not say early 2025. It said late. So I didn't even notice it. So let me make sure that's clear. I'm not talking like, yeah, they say I knew this stuff. I didn't know it either until today. I was wondering why it wasn't showing up on Max. The reason I hadn't ordered it yet, because I was waiting on the Max announcement, and then I found out there isn't going to be a Max announcement. But like I said, whatever way you order it now, if it's fine. I don't think there's any added benefits to going through Prime. Like I said, as far as the deal and everything, you know, might help AEW out to go through Prime. Like I said, when they switch to Max, I'm never going to order it on anything but Max because that's who they have their TV deal with. And that's why I say I watch the shows every week on Max because I think that's going to drive the next TV negotiation. So that's what I try to do. It's my very minuscule, tiny thing that I can do to try to help AEW. So, but I thought it was a great idea. It got AEW in the news for something good. You know, that's always great. It's a Prime. It's a huge brand. Like I just renewed on Prime on March 4th. Nah, had no clue. Cause it just has been coming out of my account for like a lot of years. I didn't even know. And, so I'm like I said, I'm very excited about this.
Yeah. So just another avenue. If you prefer to watch stuff there, it's another avenue for you to watch AEW pay-per-views. But yeah. Some quick thoughts real quick from Collision this past weekend. It opened up with our boys, FTR, with a very solid match, I feel like, with the Undisputed Kingdom. Did you want to go into that one?
Because I put quick thoughts because this was going to be my thoughts. It was an interesting match where pretty much nowhere knows where it's going. Because during the match, Dax pins Kyle O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle O'Reilly's foot on a rope. Dax sees his foot on a rope. They stop the match. They say, we don't want to win this way. And then they restarted the match, which was fine. I was like, oh, this is cool. They're building up like a face-on-face rivalry. Then for the preceding parts of the match until the end, pretty much is FTR trying to cheat repeatedly. The foot on the ropes, a little, they had the tights on a pin. And then they just lose. They just straight up, they hit their high-low move, and then they lose. And I was like, I'm very confused about where this story is going forward.
Yeah.
Because, of course, if it's leading to FTR returning to their roots, I'll put it that way, that will make me very, 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 very happy.
Yeah.
I want to make it clear, I love FTR no matter what. I believe they know that. I believe everyone knows that. But I fell in love with FTR when they were bad guys breaking people's knees and arms. Kind of want them to go back to that. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's bad. And also, a Rob Schomburger autographed print of FTR will be available on Shop at AEW March 6th. I guess it's today for both of us now. March 6th at, what is it, 1 p.m. Eastern. So that's pretty cool. I'm going to buy it.
It is very cool, yeah.
I'm going to buy it, of course. I mean, I know that shocks no one.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, so that was an interesting one, and of course we definitely want to see our FTR boys go heel at some point. We've been needing that. Tony Storm had a nice little promo that will lead into the little video, the segment that we had on Dynamite that I'll talk on a little bit more. We also had a really, really solid TNT championship match between Daniel Garcia and Adam Cole, which was very, very fun. But the match got thrown out once we had a point where Lee Moriarty comes in with the infantry and they go after Cole and Garcia and they beat down those guys.
So it was interesting. So Cole comes down while Shane Taylor Promotions is going back. And they kind of look at each other, and they kind of look at each other funny, like it's about to something's about to go on. So they have in the match, and it's a good match, and they're pretty much at a standstill. No one's winning. And then Shane Taylor Promotions comes in and just attacks both of them, right? Mm-hmm. Which is this never happens. Rarely happens in AEW, and it's not a trope in AEW. This is a very rare thing to happen. So hey, it's leading to something. So. Let's go. Let's rock with it. Let's see what happens. Then this week on Collision, they announced during the show that Lee Moriarty is getting a TNT title shot. And I asked you this before the show. Why, you're Tony Khan, you're the matchmaker, you're watching the show. Why would you then reward Lee Moriarty with a title shot after he messed up the last title match?
I agree.
And this is like not a logic. This is like inside the wrestling thing, you know, like he basically got to skip over Adam Cole by screwing over Adam Cole, and I'm just like,
yeah, because he didn't get a title shot for beating Adam Cole. He got a title shot because he jumped him.
Yeah, so I don't know. So,
that was interesting for sure.
But yeah, like I said, just I'm intrigued by it. I didn't understand it. I was like, at most, I thought they might have made it a triple threat match, but just to be like, Adam Cole's out of it. Here's Lee Moriarty, which you know.
Yeah, and then one thing else, too, was Kenny Omega had a really good little video promo from Winnipeg about Takeshita, which I thought was good just to get that match a little bit more built to it. Honestly, we got a really good match to close out the show with Hobbs and Bandido facing Big Bill and Brian Keith. They got some big this is awesome chance in this match, and, you know, it's cool to see, like, Hobbs and Bandido working off each other. I feel like they have a nice little, as a thrown together tag team, they have a nice little kind of, I guess, bouncing off each other a bit.
You know what I'm learning with Hobbs? He kind of works well with everybody.
That's a good thing to have, for sure.
Yeah, and it's just like, you don't get that much utility out of people the size and the physicality of Hobbs that way. So right. It is kind of cool that, you know, you do get that from him now. So I thought that was pretty dope. He looked, him and Bandino was the tag team you never needed. I feel like this is leading to Will Hobbs' ROH title match. And
that would be awesome. Because
he's just been tied to the learning tree for so long. And it's like, well, you beat Big Bill in a street fight. So what else there to prove? I don't know. We will see. Going forward, but I really did enjoy this match. I really do enjoy Bandido. I am so happy that he's back.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we'll move over now to Dynamite from just after we recorded this show, which took place in Sacramento, California. Venue was awesome. The Sacramento Memorial Auditorium. Awesome venue. Really, really cool spot for the show. Loved how it just was a straight-up theater. Like, I just... I love what AEW's been doing with the unique venues. This was another instance of it. Just a really cool spot, honestly. And dug the vibes in there. Crowd was really good, too. Like I said, more venues like this. It's very cool to watch when you've got, like, interesting locations like this.
Yeah, and I love the balcony thing. I just think that adds to it on a event. It felt like a big deal. I definitely like the look of this arena.
Yeah, show opened up with MJF talking about how Adam Page, Hangman, decided to poke and prod the devil, and what happened to Christopher Daniels was just light work for him. But he's like, you know what? I'm proving a point to your fan club because you want to believe that you're the main character of AEW? Nah, I'm going to be in the streets of Sacramento and I've got a bullet with your name on it. You want to shoot? Well, saddle up and let's ride, cowboy. And that would be touched upon later in the show. I think we'll get into that a little later. But then we have the contract signing, which is the first opening of the show, with Swerve Strickland and Ricochet for their match at AEW Revolution. Not used to AEW starting with contract signings, but you know what? Why not? So this was started off with Ricochet and Swerve Strickland sitting down, and he's getting booed to hell and back, and Ricochet is wearing the robe still that was stolen, and he says, you're going to see this on Sunday. Don't worry. It's going to get some upgrades, you know. I know you've done plenty of these contract signings before, but they didn't end up well for you. And you're lucky that I'm even humoring you because I should be done with you. You stuck your nose in my business. You wanted to mock me, embarrass me, and bully me, and I still beat you. And that's why you're still mad. So I'm one step closer to being AEW World Champion, and I'm focused on Moxley and Cope, who I'm supposed to be beating to become the World Champion. Don't let Nana down this Sunday. Swerve just basically shuts him up going, you are so annoying. And yeah, I did try to do all this to expose you for the coward you are. And I'm going to do that on Sunday. You stole that robe. You stuck me in the head with scissors. But the biggest mistake is you left me breathing. And I'm going to be breathing down your neck until I end you. And awakening the most dangerous man in AEW is a mistake you're going to regret. At Revolution, I carved my path to the world title by putting you in the ground. They signed the contract. Swerve almost gets stabbed with the scissors by Ricochet, but he catches it and then has his own pair of scissors and jabs them in the head of Ricochet, who flies over the contract signing table, and he starts bleeding as Swerve walks off. I will say, There were some decent parts in this. It felt a little awkward, honestly, in some bits. I felt like Swerve was stumbling over his words a little bit. Ricochet, I know in a lot of people's minds, still can't cut promos. I thought he was fine. Him laughing basically at the idea that Swerve even stands a chance because he already beat Swerve, so he feels overly confident in this match, which I think is going to be a big factor in the actual production of the match, is his overconfidence in that, well, I beat Swerve before, I should beat him fine this time, failing to realize that you've pissed this man off to no belief. So I think that's going to be a big factor in the match. But yeah, there was just parts in this that felt a little awkward to me, just in the way that they were talking. The crowd was super into it and big into Swerve, so that helped out a ton. It was nice, but I felt like, you know, they didn't really get too deep into each other. This was pretty safe in regards to a contract signing promo battle, and it wasn't really necessary, but you know what, it was a nice way to have this be kind of a big showcase, because I mean, like, Ricochet, hot guy for AEW right now, and Swerve's one of their top guys, so it got a nice little segment for their match to give it some build, since there's no title surrounding it, and both of them are basically trying to use each other as a jumping off point to become a world title contender.
Okay. What I agree with everything you said about that segment. It was, I thought, even though Swerve stumbling a little bit, I know I'm one of the members of the Swerve fan club, so don't get me wrong, still love my boy, but he did have some moments where either he forgot what he was going to say, didn't seem like he got his mind right, or whatever. Taking care of it that way. So I thought that was crazy. I thought Ricochet was good. He's supposed to be annoying. So that's what he's doing. He's being annoying. And I thought he caught that really well. Him not bringing the jacket was kind of a thing. I was like, we'll talk about our predictions later. I was like, think it might lead to something. But I thought the segment was great. Stoller sort of brings intensity. The two things I can say about these first two segments is all it made me want is the MJF Swerve feud.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but, yeah. Because no, for sure.
They do the intense personal feuds as well or better than anyone. So when MJF and Swerve's paths finally cross, it's going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah. No, that match is going to be amazing for sure, when they ever have it.
But yeah, it's like, like I said, everyone has kind of an off night. I wouldn't even call it an off night, but it seemed like he kept losing focus. And maybe that was on purpose. Maybe that's trying to show something I didn't see as far as audience viewer watching it, it felt off.
Yeah, it was a little off. It is what it is, but, you know, I feel like it's still got a lot of exciting factors into it. Ricochet, I think, is fully into this version of himself, and I think the match is going to slap. But, yeah, a little bit of an awkward final moment leading into the actual match itself. But we moved on to the 8-man tag between Ospreay, Hobbs, Briscoe, and Cat O.C., facing off against Brian Keith, Mark Davis, and the Murder Machines, Lance Archer and Brian Cage. And this was fun. This was a fun, entertaining, crazy, exciting match. I especially love the use of Mark Davis in this, since they're really leaning into him not being really behind being part of the Don Callis family and being very hesitant to be a part of all this, but he's basically just been backed into a corner by Don Callis. And especially Kyle Fletcher. Would love to see him get more and more involved with this feud with Fletcher and Ospreay. Maybe it bounces off to Ospreay feuding with Davis at one point, or whatever the case may be with that. But I thought this was a ton of fun. I thought everybody was able to get a really good shining spot and light in this match. The great spot where all the baby faces are doing the 10 count punch in the corner and OC does the one and then just celebrates. Fucking funny as hell. But man, everyone was just flying all over the place in this match. I've always said before on the show, I'm not a huge fan of multi-man matches, but AEW does them super, super well. And the setup of Ospreay being able to get after, Brian Keith while Briscoe clears out the Murder Machines on the outside and then getting the Oz Cutter, then Hidden Blade combo to get the win. It was awesome. And that's when Mark Davis jumps Ospreay afterwards. The Murder Machines powerbomb Hobbs on the steel steps. And that's when Fletcher starts screaming at him to finish the job basically and hit Ospreay with a steel chair. And he does it, to which the crowd chants, "You sold out," at him. This was honestly really, really, really good. For the first match of the show, it started off getting the crowd super hot. Honestly, they should have just started with this match and then do the contract signing. I feel like it would have fit a lot better. We're used to AEW starting off shows like that, and it fits better, I feel like, for what AEW tries to be. So they tried to do the contract signing first. I give them credit for doing that, but you know what? When in doubt, just have these guys who know how to wrestle their asses off open up the show, and I think it works a lot better. But great multi-man match. You muted, my man?
I was muted, but I will edit that out. Okay, so yeah, this was a classic multi-man AEW match. I am very big on hating random six matches and six man matches and eight man matches, and this is out of the school of random eight man matches. It's like, oh, let's, y'all kind of guys probably have a problem with these guys, that's cool. But the match was very entertaining. I don't know if there has ever been a match with Will Ospreay that hasn't been at least good. This dude is at minimum good. You know what I mean? When he, like, he doesn't have to try too hard for that to get great. So this match was, you know, really good, really entertaining. You know, the when OC jumped on Hobbs's back and ran into the corner, that was cool. They still managed to have fun. I enjoyed the shit out of this match. And then the ending with Mark Davis. See, this is what I tell you. I think these first three segments of AEW was like, this is Floyd's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
50% great wrestling, 50% amazing soap opera. And I felt like these first three segments were right there. They were a little bit heavy on the soap opera, but it's a go-home show. So you're building to the matches of Sunday, so right. I get it. But then you still got really solid matches in there. You still got really solid in-ring work with this 8-man tag. I thought it was fun. I love this dilemma Mark Davis is going through. He's going to pick the right side. You know, and it's so funny because in my brain, like, Floyd's wrestling is, you know, people call it overbooked when you have too many run-ins and everything. But sure. If I was booking wrestling, that's kind of what it would look like most of the time. So every time I do a prediction show, which we will be doing later, I always predict all these run-ins. And the AEW doesn't do them. So I have learned my lesson on this one. So I'm not going to be doing that this week, doing this time. But shout out to, you know, I like this because there's so many layers. All the different people that have problems with each other in the match, right? You got all these people that have problems with each other. Then you have this Mark Davis storyline, which is kind of a background storyline. But it's very, very important because, honestly, you know, it's a fight between Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher, and Don Callis. It's a fight for Mark Davis's soul. So it's like you take this character that's kind of lower down on your roster, right, and you've made him important. And that is wrestling. That's wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically how it goes, man.
Yeah, is Mark Davis ever going to be AEW World Champion? No.
Probably not.
But they have made him such a center of this thing, you care about him on a higher level.
There you go. We move on next to the Rated R Superstar, Cope, facing off against Wheeler Yuta of the Death Riders. I loved Yuta's entrance coming through basically the entrance of the theater, basically. Really, really cool entrance.
Yeah, and let me tell you, it just made me want to say yeet.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's its own thing because it's a smaller building, all that kind of stuff. Again, it makes it unique.
Venue, yeah.
Yeah, but guess what? I'm going to tell everybody. Entertainment products steal from each other.
All the time. And also, too, it's just filming a guy walking through the crowd. Like, let's be frank, it's not that unique of a thing. They've just been doing it and attaching it to Jay more so than other wrestlers. Like, let's not forget when Sami Zayn did it in fucking Canada, in Montreal, and, like, he did it. And it was honestly better when Sami did it because the crowd was, like, mobbing him as he was walking through that crowd.
The great thing is the deeper meaning of this is that he was all alone.
Yes.
Yuta's never alone.
Yuta's never alone.
Yeah. He has Claudio, Pat.
The other members have already been taken out.
Yes. So.
And Yuta's the last line of defense, basically, for Cope to get to Moxley, which, not a great thing for Moxes that have Yuta be the last line of defense.
Okay. And I got to tell you, largely on this match, except for, like, the beginning and end, I kind of checked out.
Yeah, I don't like to say,
if this was the greatest match I'd ever seen and I missed it, I apologize. Unfortunately, while I'm watching wrestling on Wednesday, I'm also working. So I kind of got to pick my spots. And I was like, this is the match to get some work done.
So, I love the fact that Yuta used the cattle mutilation.
I loved that. Yes. Yes. And it's so, you look at Yuta, right? He's kind of been just like his push is probably one of the slowest pushes in wrestling history.
A little bit,
because, you know, outside looking in, if you check in, you'd think he's in the same spot. But if you really paid attention, he's been elevated. He's just like he's just elevated very slowly. He's a few spots higher than he was before. And you can tell from this match, he was in the match all the way until the end, and he just got caught. And it, you're like, you know, And like I said, I know I wasn't, but I knew it wasn't just like a squash or a domination.
No, yeah.
It was back and forth or whatever. So that being said, I am all about how they have evolved Yuta. And then the end of this match, again, gave me more soap opera. So
1,000%. So match itself was great. It was solid. And Yuta, after he put on the cattle mutilation, he is able to, Cope is able to get out of it and plant Yuta with a great, I don't even know the move. But like, it's not where he just basically slams him but like stomach first on onto the mat. I don't know what the name of the move is specifically, but it was really cool how he pulled that the whole thing off. And then he goes and hits the spear and pins Cope, and he sticks out his hand looking to shake his hand and says, "This is what respect feels like." And Yuta kind of looks at him a little confused, and he does shake Cope's hand, and Cope leaves, walks on up to the back, and Yuta is standing there, and that's when Mox comes out, and he's furious, screaming about what the hell is that, and getting bleeped by all the cuss words and everything like that. And then eventually he gets shoved by Yuta, and gets back and leaves the ring. And that's when Mox chases him back and screams at him, basically, you know, keep walking. And he's like, "If I see you again." And that's when Moxley looks down the barrel of the camera and goes, "You know what? Congrats, Cope. I'm all alone. You did it. I'm going to be all by myself at Revolution. And you think you can pick me off like a sheep? Nah, you just wasted my time and brought out the worst in me. But you know what? The bars were there for your safety. Now you've got me all alone. But what are you going to do to me on Sunday? Nothing. I'm going to enjoy every second of beating your ass. You try to show you to respect? I've been in this business long enough. There is no respect in this business. I'm the only one who sees it. You only get respect one way in this business, when people know you're willing to pull the trigger. And you've pulled the trigger 3 times. I only got to pull the trigger once at Revolution." Solid. I thought that was a nice little promo for Mox to kind of just show like, "Oh, good job. You jumped all my boys. But remember who you're facing at the end of the day." One of my favorite Moxley promos recently, I will say, and I dig the fact of them actively trying to do more of Yuta kind of growing up and, respecting himself a little bit to realize, hey, you know what? I'm being treated like dirt a little bit. We'll see if it goes anywhere, but you know what? I dig it. I like how Cope's handling this. And again, my hope is that Cope is going to be the one to dethrone this whole ordeal, and I'll touch more on this when we do our predictions for Revolution at the end of the show. But this was solid. Match was solid, promo was solid, and you know what, even though I'm not a fan of the Death Riders, it's a nice closing segment leading in to Revolution for this match for the World Championship.
I completely agree with everything you said. It's crazy that Mox and Copeland, two basically 20-year professional wrestlers, probably 50 years of professional wrestling experience between both of them, we know they're going to give us a good match Sunday. If they put on the best match Mox and Copeland are capable of, at best, it's going to be the 5th best match on this card. That's how solid this card is going to be. That's crazy to think about. At best, it's going to be the 5th best match on this card. Yeah, I just sent you something like some crazy blue sky spouting.
Yeah, I saw it. I get it. But like, you know, again, it's,
I'm just like, just,
I'm not even going to get into it. Like, you know, like, we're not, it was
hilarious to me. Just don't order it through Prime. Move on. I'm like, it's not that hard.
We don't even need to get into it, but yeah, no, as someone who's not been a fan of anything regarding the Death Riders since it began, I am interested to see how this match goes, and you know what? This was a nice little segment to close it off.
Dude, I was talking about the pivot.
Mm-hmm.
They pivoted. You know, they pivoted a lot of the storylines that wasn't working. About 6 weeks ago, on the build of the show, they pivoted, and they just put on nothing but great wrestling. They've made me care about this feud that Absolutely. Go back and listen to six shows ago that I gave zero fucks about. I was like, I don't care about Copeland versus Mox.
Right.
Now it's going to be, I'm like, oh, okay, they refocus. They understand. They put their finger back on the pulse of the fans. I love it. I'm looking forward to Mox and Cope. I'm looking forward to you. I'm even looking forward to giving my predictions later on.
There you go. That's big. We'll move over now. There was a quick little video package for the Outrunners who were training for their match against the World Tag Team Champions, the Hurt Syndicate. Love the fact that they threw this on Dynamite. And I'm excited for that match, too, in general. We move then to MJF, still waiting for Hangman, calling him a coward, waiting in the streets. And that's when Hangman pulls up in his electric truck and tries to run over MJF. He runs away. Hangman then starts to stalk him, to which he finds MJF in the arena, grabs him, and starts brawling with him to the outside, to the rampway. And it's someone who's dressed up like MJF, and he just kept screaming, "He made me do it! He made me do it! He made me do it!" And MJF set a trap. He ambushes Hangman and starts hitting him and beating him with a low blow. Then hits the Heat Seeker, and then takes off a shirt with the shirt saying, "MJF did nothing wrong." Classic. Classic shit.
And you can buy that shirt right now on shopaew.com.
Yes, you can.
Yes.
Yes, you can.
And let me tell you, if I did not have an embargo on new shirts, I would buy that shirt. But I am restricting myself to like limited time only kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, no, I feel you there. I feel you there.
But this was brilliant. This was brilliant. Oh, yeah.
This was solid. And MJF gets the Dynamite Diamond ring on. He hits Adam with it. And he goes, "You love your precious cowboy. You love it when he burns things. But let's see how you hypocrites feel when I do it." He gets lighter fluid, pours it on Hangman, gets a lighter out. And before he can do it, AEW security comes out, tackles him, carries him away.
I think this might have been the most security I've ever seen ever.
For real. I didn't even see, security didn't even come out when fucking Eddie Kingston tried to set somebody on fire.
Yes.
But when MJF does it, you know what? Like I said,
yeah.
I honestly get the hypocrite stand, because who tried to stop? Literally, Bryan Danielson was the only one who tried to stop Eddie Kingston from setting somebody on fire.
And John Moxley tried to murder Bryan Danielson, and 20 people didn't come out there for that. With a plastic bag.
He suffocated. Yeah, he suffocated.
Yeah, and 20 people didn't come out for that, so this seems weird. MJF is the victim of a double standard. I just want to see if a horse can burn, man. Let's go. Now, this was very interesting. This was sick MJF. This was MJF. MJF is back. I got to be real. Like, some people are like, oh, man, maybe his shtick and got tired. And, yeah, when he went into that Jeff Jarrett thing and he was doing the old school MJF, no, we needed a break from that. This is the MJF we need right now. Now, could one day he become champion and he goes back to that old MJF? Yes. But it was becoming too cyclical. It was happening too much and too many times in a row. So when he went back, and this is still MJF, this is just a more aggressive MJF. I'm not running away from you. I'm just smarter than you, and I'm going to beat you up. I'm digging this MJF, because it's still MJF. It's just one of the many layers of this character, and it's just like they picked the right thing for right now.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. I'm right there with you with that. And like it's got the heat with it, no pun intended. And MJF, like, this is where I give them a lot of props for pivoting. And like, this is so much better what they're heading into for this weekend. Like, it just it's head and shoulders above what was originally planned for Hangman. It's like 1,000%. So, we move over then to the tag team match. Before the tag team match, I must say that we had it was the director, right? The director of Queen of the Ring.
Yes.
He comes.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you. even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Out.
The writer and, slash director.
Director, yeah. Ash Avildsen, I think is how it's said.
I mean, yeah.
Ash Avildsen, yeah. He comes out to talk about the movie Queen of the Ring, which is in theaters on March 7th, and brings out the AEW Women's World Champion, Timeless Toni Storm, to comment on the movie. I loved how she made a joke about how they cut her nude scene. And, dude, Ash lives for this. Like, this man wanted to be in wrestling at some point because he is in full, like, playing along with everything that Tony's doing and, like, actively speaking in an accent. And, I mean, like, if this guy wanted to come in and be some sort of, like, you know, it was even, like, just a weird thought in my head where if for whatever reason Toni Storm was to turn heel with the Timeless gimmick, he could be, like, the movie executive, Hollywood executive that kind of leads her to, like, say, you know, turn on those and, like, start looking at the people as beneath her and everything like that, and being less, being more Hollywood than probably less respectable Hollywood, I think. Because he was into this, honestly, and
how effortlessly he switched into this quote unquote character.
Yes, from talking about the movie, just in the whole premise of it.
Yeah, he was super serious, and then he went right into the character.
Exactly,
it has to be PG-13. I just thought it was so effortlessly, it was effortlessly done. I think he did a good job. His real name's Ashley.
That's crazy,
Ashley. Ashley, that's all I would call him. He'd be like, call me Ash. Okay, Ashley. No, I thought this segment was great. Toni Storm's intensity was where it needed to be. I got my ticket to Queen of the Ring Friday at 2:15. I'm very excited to see all my AEW women. And, yeah, I think Trinity's in it, too. So, Naomi for the other people.
Yes.
I really enjoyed the segment, and it was a great way to get the movie over.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. We then moved into the match that was sponsored by the movie, Chris Statlander and Thunder Rosa teaming up to face Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. And you know what? Nice little bounce back. We talked about how the awkwardness of Thunder Rosa's in-ring segment with Megan Bain and Penelope Ford was last week. But you know what's a good way to get that out of people's mind? Having a good match. Her and Statlander were a nice team together. Megan Bain, Penelope Ford, nice little bouncing off of each other. I thought there was a great moment where Bain catches Thunder Rosa and throws her onto Chris Statlander. And then Penelope Ford gets tossed and thrown out onto both girls, too. There was a moment where Ford and Bain are kind of like almost at odds with each other because Penelope accidentally kicks Bane, and then she gets drop-kicked by Thunder Rosa, who jumps off of Chris Statlander's back. I thought that was really cool. And yeah, I thought there was a couple, you know, things to show. Like, obviously, Penelope Ford might have been able to screw up the match for Megan Bain. She still showed off her impressive strength and still got the win. This was probably the best match I've seen her in her short time in AEW. I'm still waiting to see a little bit more from her, but I can see the growth. And, you know, this was from what happened last week, very nice rebound from all parties involved. Very nice rebound. The only thing I would have loved, though, is if Thunder Rosa brought out a chair and they're like, you ain't gonna do shit, and she actually hits them with the chair. That's the only thing that would have been really funny, is she actually is like, oh, you think I'm not gonna hit you this time?
Okay, first thing, of course, I'm on Twitter while watching this. You know, a lot of people were thinking it. Joey Janela's like, this is so weird. If you know, you know. Then I felt like this is the first time they really got Megan over as a powerhouse. Because that's supposed to be her thing. She's supposed to be a big, strong woman.
Yes. Throwing using people her around. Strength. Yeah.
I think this is the first match they really got it over. And, like, just throwing people around, just, like, invincible. Then her F5. It looked like an F5. I don't know if they're going to call it F5. I don't know if they called it an F5. But her F5, she kind of threw her. And that's the whole thing. if you're doing an F5 and you're coming behind Brock and you're doing Brock's move, right?
Yeah.
It's going to get compared to how Brock did it. So, basically, the F5 is a fireman's carry toss into a DDT, right?
Right.
But the way Brock did it, it was just like this fireman's carry just toss, and you just got launched. So the first couple times she did it, it kind of looked like she kind of laid her down. And then her and Thunder, I guess they worked on it, because Thunder flew off of her, and I was like, okay, that's a finisher. That is how you put somebody away. I thought Megan Bain, this is like, if this was up to me, this would have been the first Megan Bain match you saw. Yeah. It wasn't that the other matches weren't impressive, but with her being such a big deal, 6 foot tall, powerhouse.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. The thing. They used her strength legitimately, her strength as her selling point.
Yeah.
That makes her stand out. That makes her stand, like, it works so much better. So much better.
And then it was kind of cool because she called her, it was funny, what's the music guy's name? Mikey Ruckus. Said yes. His grandpa was watching the show, and he sent him a thing, and he said, Lady Thor is like hot or whatever, or kicking ass. And I was like, that is the vibe we want.
She is Lady Thor, yeah.
Yes, that is the vibe we want. And that's why I only brought that up to say that is the vibe we want, Lady Thor. She looks unstoppable. Whether you build it up to someone just eventually beating her, or you build it up where she gets a long championship run before somebody beats her, the more impressive she looks, the more impressive it's going to look when she finally loses.
Yeah, no, right. I completely get that whole mindset. And like I said, this makes me feel way more like, okay, I can see the appeal big time. So that, yeah. I'm big into that. We then quickly get through the CEO, Mercedes Moné, does a quick little promo about Momo Watanabe, who's going to be fighting Serena Deeb on Collision. So she's going to be watching. Platinum Max Caster has his open challenge match for the best wrestler alive. He tries to get a terrible chant going, which doesn't even get any engagement whatsoever, and he gets booed to hell and back. Jay White accepts the challenge and beats the living shit out of him and just hits the Blade Runner and pins him immediately. And he says basically he'll be in he'll be at Revolution to see Copeland become the new AEW World Champion.
Literally, yep. Everyone jumped to conclusion. Oh, he's turning.
Oh, that was my first mindset, too.
That's literally what everybody on Twitter said. He's turning. But this Max Caster thing works because, and people like, you know, like I had a friend say it wasn't working. I'm like, it's working. This is what everyone thinks of Max is already, you know?
Joke, yeah.
Yeah, this is what they think of him. He's just being what people think of him, and it works. And yeah. It's going to turn into something.
No, I agree 1,000% because, I mean, it's entertaining. It's genuinely entertaining, and, like, it works right now. So we then had a amazing sit-down interview with Timeless Toni Storm, the AEW Women's Champion, and Mariah May. Mariah immediately gets up and spits in the face of Toni Storm. Renee is appalled, and she goes again with the "look what you made me do to someone I loved" comment. And talks about how Tony's nothing without me. That title is nothing without me. And you know what? You survived me in Australia, but there's no surviving me at Revolution because this is where we'll both go down together. And she's like, basically, isn't this what you always wanted? A trilogy with your greatest co-star? We can finally have that Hollywood ending. And again, she's completely shattered in mentally, to which Tony just cold-faced says to her, "You do not deserve the dignity of death. I sentence you to a lifetime of mediocrity." And that's when they get up, and Mariah, Renee, as they're staring each other down, just like, is like, "I hope neither of you, and like, I hope both of you end up not getting too hurt from this." And then they both say at the same time, basically, "Pray for her." Like, best feud in AEW. It's their best feud, like, going right now. They are so unbelievably amazing. These two have just done such a great job at this entire feud. Mariah May has become a star out of this feud. Timeless Toni Storm is unbelievable. Like, it's incredible. And now that we know that this is going to be a Falls Count Anywhere match as well, with it being the Hollywood ending, Like, they're going to do such a good job, I feel like, for this. Like, this is my most anticipated match, just for the fact of it being the final moment of this storyline that has spent years developing. Like, people want to talk about how AEW doesn't do long-term storytelling. This is the long-term storytelling that AEW does at its best. Like, to me, this is close to the level of Hangman's Odyssey to the Championship, personally. I think this is, like, the best story AEW's got going right now, and it's going to be exciting to see it come to a conclusion, and I just can't give these two girls enough props. They are killing it.
Yeah, I'm calling it right now, AEW Women's Match of the Year. Call it.
I cannot wait for it, man. I'm
making that statement. It's going to be it. Shout out to RJ City as one of the people that's helping this along for the period of time, because this, I truly believe this is going to be this is the end of this part of the story. They might come back together later, you know, in a year or so, but I do truly believe this needs to be the last part and they need to go away for a while, right?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. Well, obviously, Tony can, you know, be the champ and beat up on some nobodies or whatnot just to keep her being the world champion on TV. But because I think Tony will win.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mariah should.
Yeah. And I truly think she should go away for like a month. You know what I mean? Like go through this mental breakdown and go away. But we'll see. We'll see what they do. But this was perfect. Renee was the MVP of this segment.
She killed it. Like I said, her being so pissed. Appalled.
Yes. Her being so pissed and literally just kind of attacking Mariah May. That was amazing because it was just like, all these people that are in backstage and in these segments are these wooden non-character having people, like they're just the person holding the mic. Dude, I got spit on when you spit on her. You know what I mean? There was residual. Like, this is ridiculous. We promised not to touch each other. She was legitimately, like, in that moment, in her world, she was pissed. And that was the perfect way. That's what we needed. She was in that crowd because it's like, no, we needed emotion from everybody in this segment.
Absolutely. And everyone played their part, no pun intended, to a T. We then have the main event, the Road to Revolution tag match between Kazuchika Okada and Ricochet versus Swerve Strickland and Brody King. And yeah, this was a good match. I thought there was a great moment where Okada and Ricochet, they were able to be jackasses together against Swerve, to which Okada proceeded to get immediately killed by Brody King off of the apron. It was really, really good. Obviously, Swerve and Ricochet, their charisma, I mean, their connection together, so good. It leaves you so excited for what you're going to see at Revolution. I love Brody just being involved here. I like him just being able to get a good moment to shine in this match. It seemed a little weird to team them up together, but you know what? They delivered, and Ricochet personalized, like again, these two guys too, like they are some of the best wrestlers that you have, and having them team together both as heels is very entertaining. Crowd's going nuts for the whole thing. There's a great spike DDT from Ricochet. Eventually, as the match goes on, Swerve hits the house call. Ricochet, though, proceeds to take his title belt, hit Swerve with it, steal the pin, and he gets the win on Swerve yet again. And now if he wins, he can call himself the number one contender for the AEW World Championship. And Ricochet now has all the momentum going into Revolution. And I feel like there's just such a level of I truly think Ricochet is going to go in so overconfident that when Swerve gets his hands on him, like it could be a level of like as the match goes on, like Ricochet's begging for his life, genuinely, because Ricochet could get killed in this match.
The most dangerous man in AEW, and
he's been unleashed.
He's been unleashed, and I really love the spot where he got Ricochet in. Ricochet and Okada up against the barricade, and Brody came in with his splash. I thought that was really cool. I thought that was actually awesome how they work together, how the timing is. Brody King, again, him and Will Hobbs, giant utility men. Like, when is the last time either one of those two dudes did something that didn't work? You know what I mean? It's just, they're so good. It's like, AEW has big men, but their big men can wrestle. You know, like, their big men are athletic. They can really work with what it was. And in this match, it worked. And I'm really looking forward to Brody King and Okada. Thought this match was great. Ricochet getting the pinfall. Man, it almost solidifies that it really does not matter what happens with him at Revolution. He's now a made AEW guy. You can literally put him in anything after this. I would like to see him go after the TNT title with Daniel Garcia after this. But you can literally do anything you want, because this feud over the last few months, where everybody wasn't feeling that great about him after the C2, this feud is like really made him someone that you can actually respect and look at.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. It just feels like it's such a better fit for Ricochet in this position with AEW. And again, it's their match, I think, is going to be so good. But that is the go home Dynamite for Revolution. Real quick, we'll quickly preview what we've got coming up on Collision.
It was recorded tonight, so
it was.
Of these matches we're gonna say have not been announced yet, but we're not gonna say who won them. So
there you
go. Okay, go ahead.
We got Hologram going up against Realistico. Harley Cameron will be in action. Daniel Garcia will defend the TNT Championship against the Ring of Honor Pure Champion Lee Moriarty. Serena Deeb obviously faces off against Momo Watanabe with Mercedes Moné on commentary. And then that's the ones I see. Were there any other matches you
wanted? Oh, you're not looking at the notes?
They were on the notes? Oh, I was looking.
Outrunners versus career athletes.
Okay, there you go.
The Ops versus local talent is what I'll call them. Undisputed Kingdom versus the Infantry. And those are your matches for the show. So I think we got, what, 7 matches for the show?
Yeah. I think that's what we got. So should be a fun Collision before the show, before Revolution. So obviously, like Floyd said, it was taped tonight. So we'll have the show ready to go on Saturday.
To steal the line from a former employee of AEW, it's time for the main event.
Oh, yeah. It's time for our predictions for AEW Revolution as the card stands right now. Because, you know, they do love announcing matches on Collision.
Yeah, they're going to definitely add. I can not only see they're going to add at least 2 dark matches. I have no idea what they're going to be, but they're going to add them. But I didn't put the dark match on here, but you got it. So I guess we can talk about it.
Well, we have the 0-hour match. So Orange Cassidy, Big Boom AJ, and Mark Briscoe teaming to face Johnny TV and M&M Collection. Obviously, I feel like babyfaces win in this situation because they've got Big Boom in there. So, you know, Costco guys and all that jazz.
Now, I watched a little video that they put up today.
Yes, was it the one of M&M Collection playing pool and then Johnny TV comes in there?
No.
You didn't see that
one. I didn't see that one.
That one was funny as shit.
No, my funny one, it wasn't really funny. It was Big Justice. They had a little video with his mom and his sister, and he was like, first thing I do is hit up catering. Last thing I do is hit up catering, because they switched from lunch to dinner. And I was just like, okay, I like you.
Yeah, he knows what's up.
He knows what's up, because that's exactly what I would do. They're like, dude, catering. Let me go get this free food, and then they're like, I'm gonna hit you up one more time before I leave. Oh. I thought that was funny. I don't know, it amused me a lot. I was like,
No, there was a nice little social media video they did with Johnny TV and M&M Collection that was funny as shit, because they thought they were gonna beat up on the Rizzler and Big Justice, but then when they found out Big Boom was in the match instead, and then Big Boom had Orange Cassidy and Mark Briscoe in the match, I should say, instead of the Rizzler and Big Justice, they were pissed. They were like, we thought we were going to be beating up some kids, now we got to beat up adults?
Yeah, I want QT to screw them over. I'm going the bad guys win.
Okay, QT
holds a grudge, baby.
He does hold a grudge, but I'm going baby faces in this one.
Because I feel like they're going to try to build to a bigger match with, you know, Big Boom AJ? Yeah, that's.
I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But we'll see. I feel like at this point, nah. I just don't think so. The Continental Championship will be defended in on the main show by Kazuchika Okada against Brody King. God, would it be amazing if Brody actually won this match? But I just feel like Kazuchika, he's going to retain. I feel like, but man, if Brody held the Continental Championship, that would be very entertaining to see him with that title. But I'm just going to go with Okada retaining.
Okada is going to retain. Absolutely.
Yep. Swerve Strickland versus Ricochet. Swerve is absolutely going to take this man's head off. Ricochet has had the advantage previously. Swerve's getting his get back in this show.
I saw something. I was definitely going with your vision. But I truly think whoever wins this match is going to tell us who's going to be the champion at the end of the night, right? So I truly believe Swerve wins. I think it'll be a bad guy at the end of the night. You know, Ricochet wins. I think it'll be a good guy at the end of the night. But that being said, I think there was something to the jacket not being in the segment. And I think the jacket was with Prince Nana the whole time. And I think Prince Nana turns on Swerve and Ricochet wins.
Okay. All right. I'm going to stick with Swerve just because I feel like this is where he gets his get back.
Hey, and that would be my preference because Swerve main eventing at Dynasty again, but we'll see.
We will see. MJF one-on-one with Hangman Adam Page. This one's honestly a bit of a toss-up for me, I feel like, just at this point in time, because I could see either of these guys getting in the way. What do you got right now?
I 100% think this is leading to another match, maybe at Dynasty. I don't think this feud is anywhere near over, so I'm calling MJF winning.
Straight that's up. Where my that's where my lean was. I think I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to join you on this one. I'll say MJF.
Because you know what we're going to get at our Dynasty? Good old TDM, baby. Texas Deathmatch.
As it always ends up with Hangman.
Yes.
The Outrunners getting a tag team championship match against the Hurt Syndicate. I love that these boys are getting on pay-per-view. Hurt Syndicate will get the win, but man, shout out to the Outrunners, man. Y'all got on pay-per-view. Let's fucking go.
It's going to be a lot of false finishes. It's going to be a lot of close shit. But I'm calling the Hurt Syndicate winning, right? Then I'm adding a little guess into this. Because this show is in L.A. And there is no effing way in the history of AEW that they're going to allow a show to be in L.A. and the Young Bucks not make an appearance. I think they make an appearance at the end of this match. Not to get involved, but like, hey, we're back to get our shit back.
Bleh.
I mean, it's LA. It's like having bleh. Punk. It's like having Punk on your roster for a pay per view and then announcing he's fired the day before.
Bleh.
I don't know.
Moving on, TBS Championship being defended by Mercedes Moné against Momo Watanabe. Yeah. Now, as somebody who. Unfortunately, I had to kind of quickly skim through Wrestle Dynasty. I'm going to be excited to actually see Momo Watanabe in a singles match just to see her work. Mercedes will get the win, but I'm excited to see this match, actually. I'm excited to see how these two work off each other.
I just kind of dig the fact that she swings a baseball bat as hard as she possibly can and hits people in the head. And it's obviously a plastic baseball bat, but she swings it so hard, it really doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had a wiffle ball bat.
Oh, dude, that shit hurt.
If you hit somebody in the head as hard as you can, they're not getting up. It ain't going to kill them, but it's going to incapacitate them for a few seconds. So I am really looking forward to this match. I'm hoping it leads to kind of someone like declaring herself as Mercedes next contender, but honestly I just think it's going to be a match and Mercedes is just going to win.
There you go. Steel cage match between Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher. Ooh, this match is going to be a fucking banger. I'm going to go with Will Ospreay. I'm going to go with Ospreay in this one.
I hope they have extra blood in the back. The doctors have a couple bags because I think these dudes are going to bleed buckets. I think it's time for Will Ospreay to start preparing to be in fucking all in. So I think he needs to go on like a long winning streak now. So yeah. I'm going with Will Ospreay to win.
I would go with that. Yeah. So Ospreay all the way. The International Championship, Konosuke Takeshita versus Kenny Omega. Let's fucking do it, dude. Make Kenny Omega the International Champion. I'm calling it right now. This is my line in the sand. Kenny Omega, he lost to Konosuke Takeshita in the All-In Trios match. He lost to Konosuke Takeshita at All Out. Get this man his belt. Get this man a championship. Kenny Omega wins.
I am going with Kenny Omega. This company, whenever you've looked at the hot periods of time in AEW, Kenny Omega is important in whatever he's doing.
Yes.
I mean, he almost is like the catalyst to AEW working, Kenny Omega.
Right.
So you put Kenny Omega in this international title. I think he goes ahead and wins. I would very much be okay with Takeshita winning.
I would be too, but yeah, I'm going to go with Kenny, though.
Takeshita's my guy. This is probably, because FTR is not on the show, this is probably the most I've ever struggled with what I'm going to wear to the show. I got my Hurt Syndicate shirt that's coming. That was the Friday shirt. I have my Takeshita shirt. And then I have my Rated FTR shirt, which is representing Edge or Cope. So I don't know what shirt I'm wearing. But, yeah, Takeshita's in that list. I think this match is going to be amazing. At minimum 6 stars. I would not argue if you said these are the two best wrestlers in the world, but they are definitely two of the top five best wrestlers in the world. And this match is going to be it. I'm going with Kenny Omega. I heard a rumor that AEW is thinking about merging the international title and a continental title. Which I personally wouldn't do because of the Continental Classic, but whatever. They're thinking about merging it, and if they are, Okada, Omega, Arlington, Texas. That's what you do for the combined belts. Shit, you could main event with that match. I don't think you do, but you could. I am calling it. I think if you... at some point in April, say Okada, Omega, or those two titles are going to be going up against each other at All In without saying who the champions are, I think you sell another 3,000 to 5,000 tickets.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty big statement that I can't disagree with. Honestly.
I mean, it's Okada and Omega in America.
Yeah.
For two titles on the line. I mean, the stakes can't get any bigger. This is what you want. You know, in July, you know, it's like, I think their Dominion match was like June 8th. So around the same time in the summer, dude, let's fucking go. Let's pull the trigger. All right. You know, we've had all these bullets. We had all these dream matches that they've been holding back out. It's time to start pulling some of that out. Like All In. I want to look at All In when it's time and be like, damn, you know, this is better than Revolution. You know, that kind of thing. And I think if you do that kind of show, you're going to sell a lot more tickets.
There you go.
But no, Kenny Omega all the way, one-winged angel. Now, I can't say, I have this little, like, thing in my heart. I want Takeshita to kick out of the first one-winged angel. That's it. If I could ask for one thing in the match, these dudes are artists. You know, this. I'm not going to tell Picasso what to paint. You know what I mean? I'm not going to tell Ed Sheeran what song to sing. These dudes are fucking artists. They do what they do. I'm not going to tell Kenny Omega and Takeshita what to do in a match. They know what the fuck they're doing. They've never listened to me before, and I think they've done all right in their career. But you can give me one thing. Give me Takeshita kicking out of a one-wing it.
I would be... That would be nuts. I would say some badass shit for sure.
Yeah.
So... yeah, and then Timeless Toni Storm, Mariah May for the AEW Women's World Championship in the Hollywood ending. Again, my most anticipated match. Toni Storm, I feel like, will finally close the chapter on this multi-year storyline, and I will be very excited to see what these two girls do after this. But this is the closing moment. This is the Hollywood ending. Timeless Toni Storm is finally putting Mariah May in the ground. The woman from hell will be sent to hell.
So, this is one of those things. I think Toni Storm's going to win. If it was me, if Floyd had the pencil, which I certainly do not, never will, I would go with Mariah May.
Okay.
Because I think Toni Storm can eat the loss and honestly make her character more, you know, like effective. And she's so good at everything else. She can make everything matter whether she has the belt or not. I do think I'm going to say this. AEW, unless they already have some plan, which they often do, I struggle to see what they're going to do with Mariah if she loses this match.
I don't know. I feel like I get where your kind of mindset's at with that, but I don't know. I guess for me, I would think her and Harley Cameron would have a really good feud. That would be, I think, a great feud to put both of those two in, since Harley's coming off of losing the AEW Women's World, the TBS Championship opportunity. Harley coming off of losing her title shot. I feel like those two against each other, they could do some really entertaining shit. I think that would be a nice little thing for them to do. So that's just me. I think her and Jamie Hayter could also have a really good feud. There's girls for them to work with outside of them being in the title picture and stuff like that. But I get where your mind's at more so with that. Mariah's been so tied to this feud. It's been the only thing that we've seen her in. So this would be the first time she'd be doing stuff that's not related to that and not with her being a champion. So I'm right there with you. Just like Harley after she lost the TBS title match, I want them to make sure Mariah continues to be supported moving forward, because she is one of the top talents in the women's division and she should be treated as such. So I get what your mindset is at, though.
Okay.
Because that's where I'm at with Harley.
Yeah.
So. But I think you put those two together. First of all, that's living in my dreams right there, honestly. So just do that, honestly. Just do that.
Yes. I don't think there's a wrong way to go. I just, like, if you like, who needs it more? Go with Mariah.
I know what you mean. Then we close it off. The AEW World Championship, Jon Moxley versus Cope, the Rated R Superstar himself. I feel like Floyd and I may have the same kind of mindset in terms of how this goes.
This is the only one that I'm going overbooked on. This is the only one.
Yeah, I was going to say, this would be mine too. We'll see if it kind of matches up. Because mine was Cope wins, beats Jon Moxley, wins the AEW World Championship, then say the Death Riders decide to kill him afterwards or whatnot. And then Christian Cage comes out and finally calls in that contract that he has had for a world title shot that he won all those months ago. And he wins the AEW World Championship on that night against Cope. Christian Cage, your new AEW World Champion.
This is how I have it going. Slightly different. I think there's this moment where Yuta comes out at the end. He looks like he's going to throw the Basaiko knee. He's gonna kill Edge. And he kills Moxley. Cope hits the spear. 1, 2, 3. Mox and Yuta roll out, go about their ways or whatever. Jay White, like he said tonight, comes in to celebrate with Cope. They're celebrating. He's the new champ. Boom, Blade Runner. Christian comes out. He turns on him. Christian comes down to the ring and cashes in and beats the Rated R Superstar Cope. And Christian is your new champion. Because, and the reason, you're like, why would this happen? Remember, during the original Fatal 4-Way, Christian and Jay White says, Christian looked at Jay White and said, if I win the title, you get the first shot. Long-term storytelling.
Okay.
This is the only one I'm overbooking. I have learned my lesson with AEW. Tony Khan in his pay-per-views likes pretty clean, straightforward finishes. This is the only one I'm overbooking. We're going to have two world title changes on the same night. And Christian will walk out your new AEW world champion, and the internet will explode.
All right. I will tell you right now, yes, the internet will 1,000% explode. No question.
They'll be like, oh, AEW has a 50-year-old world champion, blah, blah, blah. Let me understand. Like, I'm going to say this again. I said this before, and it's a tweet that blew up that said Jericho's 50 and Goldberg's 50 weren't the same. We're 48 or whatever his age was. Cope's age and whoever you're relating him to in the WWE is not the same. I mean, the dude looks as good as he's ever has as far as wrestling. And, you know, physically, I would prefer him not have the gray hair, but he likes to look grizzled. Again, if I had to pencil, Mox just wins. I know everybody hates it, but that's what I would go with. Mox wins. That's what I would do. Because,
all right.
And Mox would just leave the champion. Because, it feels like there's a lot of correlation with the bloodline to me. And there was this period of time with the bloodline that everybody wanted Roman to lose. Everybody wanted him to lose. It was just, without a shadow of a doubt, they wanted that man to lose. And they kept going away, and they kept going away. And because they did it, we got that amazing WrestleMania 40 finish. And it was just this big, over-the-top, amazing thing where Cody wins, Samantha Irvin, a winner. But that doesn't happen if every time the fan base cried for Roman to win, they took the belt off of him. You know what I mean? You don't get that moment. So, yeah, I call the Moxley title reign the eating your vegetables of wrestling, because if the longer we wait and the longer we hate it, the more we're going to love it when someone eventually wins.
Boom. That right there will close out our thoughts on the Revolution pay-per-view that's happening this weekend at the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles. Should be an exciting, eventful show.
I'm going to buy me some crypto.
You won't. No, you won't.
No, I like money. I like my money.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. Honest. But yeah, that I think is going to close out. Well, first off, we have one little bit of final news to touch on.
Dude, it's the show.
And it's pretty big because, again, we've been waiting on this.
Yeah, so as I look at my wall and I see nothing but Rey Fénix figures, I feel like my wall needs to be updated, because it looks like on Monday, it looks like Rey Fénix is officially, he's been removed from the site. He's officially released from AEW. He can start working anywhere, anytime he wants to. I want to, first of all, before I say any snide comments, thank Rey for his time in AEW. Yeah. I was not very familiar with Rey Fénix before he joined AEW. And I was very much a big fan. I always said every time he was in the ring, he did something I've never seen before. And so, shout out to Rey Fénix. I am glad for his time in AEW. I it sucks to see him go, but I wish him the best in his future and whatever he does. Second of all, yeah, you know I'm never going to root for you again. You know that, right? I said the right thing. I said the positive thing. I said the gracious thing. I did that, right? That was all. No, I'm never going to root for you again. I'm actually going to hope you lose every match. I can't wait to see you on WWE Speed. I can't wait to see you lose to Sean Spears for the NA North American title. Shout out to Sean Spears, new North American champion. But yeah, never going to root for you again. It's cool. You know, I'm petty. It's cool. I'm okay. I live with that. None of us are perfect. I can live with being petty. But yeah, he's gone. He's gone. He's gone. And yeah, it's so weird to me, because my friend was going into all the reasons. We were getting a Fletcher with Kyle Fletcher and all the reasons he wouldn't work in the WWE. And I was like, you know you're describing Rey Fénix, right?
Right.
His biggest strength is his wrestling moves in a company that doesn't really care about wrestling. And I'm like, you just described Rey Fénix. That's what he does. He doesn't cut promos. He doesn't do this. He's a fucking amazing wrestler. But, hey, you people got to go on and learn, and it's like one of those things. If you love it, let it go. And however long the contract is, we'll see you at the end of it. You know what I mean? But yeah, no, it's a big loss. Well, it's not a big loss because he's been off TV so long. But
correct. He's another one of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not a big loss, but you know, you got like one of the most decorated wrestlers in AEW. This dude cannot say he was not treated well. Mm-hmm. Tag team champion, trios champion, I think twice, and then the international champion. I know it was an accident, but he still won it, damn it.
He did.
Yeah,
he did.
So one of the more decorated wrestlers in AEW history, three titles, three different divisions. I think he might be the only person that has done that. So shout out to Rey Fénix, man. I was like, I really want to be happy for him, but I just don't think he's going to be used correctly. I just don't. I think where he was used correctly is where he should have stayed, but I'm going to try my best to act like the actual 40-something-year-old I am and be mature about it, but I'm probably going to fail. Just letting you know. It's like, the rooting for him is like me dieting. I'm going to fail more times than I succeed.
Well, there you go.
What did you think? What do you think?
Hey, I mean, like, again, it was something that we were waiting on to finally, you know, happen because, I mean, like, look, man, he's been off TV for a while, like, a long while. He's gone on Twitter saying how he wants out. His partner is literally already in WWE right now as we speak. Like, I have nothing else to add, you know? Good luck.
I wonder if him going to WWE is going to fuck up Penis Push.
I don't know. We'll see. Well, maybe they actually open it up with them feuding with each other. I don't know.
Man, whatever. They always put on good matches with each other.
But, oh, so, I quite frankly, like I said, it's another guy that we've been saying, like, let's stop wasting time with this. Like, just let him go. Clear up your roster. And just keep doing what you've been doing, which is putting on some good-ass shows. It's really all where I'm at right now.
Dude. And I want to officially announce Guantanamo Bay is now closed. Okay.
Yeah, at this point, yes.
There is no people that are being held, quote-unquote, hostage. Even though, the last time I checked, hostages aren't getting 2 checks a month.
No, that's not a thing that normally happens.
Yeah, so shout-out to all of them. But it looks like Guantanamo Bay is closed. I am big on, hey, if you have them, use them. It ain't shit.
Yeah.
Right? But we'll see. There's some people that haven't been used in a while, but I think they're all dealing with injuries. Jamie Hayter's dealing with a visa issue. She reported that from her own Twitter. So it was definitely her. She's dealing with some visa issues until she can come back. So we're just waiting on all this stuff to settle. But again, AEW. Probably the healthiest the roster has been in a very long time. Like, the healthiest it's been. And yeah, it's just like...
It's been big. It's been big to have this position, yeah.
With as loaded the roster is and as healthy as the roster is, man, don't need people that don't want to be there.
No, yeah, for real.
Yeah, so, let it go. But understand, to all these people out there, I am pro sticking to your contract. I am firmly on that side. If you didn't want to stay that long, don't sign it. You know what I mean? That's how I feel. I'm glad these guys got what they wanted, but yeah, I'm just like, yeah, you're getting paid not to work. I as a person that prays that one day I keep getting paid not to work, paid not to work. Yeah, I don't really feel sorry for you.
On that note, I will go ahead and call time on this episode of All Things Elite. Guys, going into Revolution Weekend, it's going to be an exciting time. Floyd, you have an amazing time in LA. Say what's up to Jared for me. And if you get on the conversation of sports, do not bring up Luka Doncic. As a Mavericks fan, former Mavericks fan, let's be frank, he was barely a Mavericks fan to begin with. He was about as fringe as they come because this man was waiting for the moment for Luka to leave so he could bounce. He was a fan of the Mavericks during the Dirk Nowitzki years. I know that. But like now he got every reason he needed to bounce once they dumped Luka. Do not talk about the Mavericks. He is preying on that team's downfall. It's an unhealthy relationship. So...
L.A. Luka's, I mean, he doesn't have to pray.
Oh, no. I mean, he's enjoying L.A. Luka now.
Let me just say this. Usually, I'm one of those big people when it comes to trades in real sports. You got to wait 4 to 5 years to see who won it.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis are out for the season. Well, the Lakers have already won this trade.
Yes.
It's over. It's over. The trade.
It's quite incredible the fast action that it took place in just a month's time after this trade. It's truly incredible.
Everything everybody said about Anthony Davis happened in less than a month. So
yes, congratulations. And then Kyrie Irving has the biggest amount of workload that he needs to do to keep this team afloat, and he gets hurt.
Yeah, and guess what? I think they got 6 games out of Anthony Davis. They traded their 25-year-old generational talent to get six games from Anthony Davis. Good
something,
job.
Something conditioning. Something.
Someone's getting fired. That's all I know.
1,000%. 1,000%. But if the conversation of Luka gets up on top, he's gonna go off. Just so you know, because he hates the Mavericks for how they did him, but he is happy to have Luka in the West, if he wants to, he gets to go
see Luka 41 times a year.
Absolutely,
he should be the happiest person on this planet.
No, but Mavs don't like how the Mavs did him though. Yeah. So he's a petty man, and he is absolutely not okay with that. So. Yeah. Just letting you know, sore spot.
Yeah, but Luka, John Cena, bring up those two things. Got it.
Correct. Yes, exactly. See how that goes. Y'all have an amazing time. I demand pictures. And dude, I hope you have an amazing time at Revolution. It looks like it's going to be an unbelievable show. With all that said, though, guys, again, we appreciate all the support. If you enjoy the show, continue to support us by downloading the show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Wherever you choose to listen to us on, share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and follow us on Twitter. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter, at Social Suplex are the guys that make this show possible. And please check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowitz, SZUMOWICZ, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. We hope you guys enjoy Revolution. We will be back with our review of Revolution sometime next week, and I will pass it off to Floyd so he can take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
We got a loaded wrestling weekend for you. We got the first show after John Cena's turn this Friday, so Cody's going to address his enemies. March 7th is the start of the New Japan Cup. Make sure you are listening to Keeping It Strong Style to know about everything New Japan Cup, especially with Clark Connors and Gabe Kidd now working with AEW. That'll give you a little insight into them as they come into the AEW. Make sure you're listening to the Tungle Talk, Imp's WWE Adventure. I'm really excited to see what Imp has to say about John Cena. He might already did the show. I got to go check it out. Tunnel Talk is going to be awesome. And then, of course, One Nation Radio is going to literally, they're the first show of the week, so they kind of wrap up the whole weekend on Monday. So that's the definitely show you want to be listening to every week, because them and Keeping the Strong Style, like, they set your week out right. But, yeah, just amazing wrestling weekend. We got Collision, Revolution, and, like I said, New Japan Cup. So best time ever to be a wrestling fan. I truly believe that no matter what side you're on, whatever you look in wrestling, whatever you want in wrestling right now, you can find it. So let's all just enjoy it. Enjoy your version of it. Try your best not to shit on what everybody else likes. And with that, I will leave you how I always leave you. Whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.